Welcome to the third and final part of Football's Road to Croke Park. Part 1 saw us look at the provincial series. Part 2 was all about the dramatic group phase. But now we're into the knockouts. The good news for Jim McGuinness would be that Donegal's travels were at an end for the moment. Instead, it was Louth that would have to travel to Ballybuffet for their preliminary quarter-final. The Kingdom would also enjoy home comforts, with Cavan, the team, drawn away to Kerry. Dublin would welcome Cork to Croke Park, and Galway's latest stop on a topsy-turvy season would be Newry and Down. That game in Ballybuffet proved to be the most memorable for what came before and immediately afterwards from both sides. Rumours began doing the rounds on social media prior to throw-in that Louth had mistakenly found themselves in Sligo. Manager Ger Brennan confirmed afterwards that the Louth team bus had turned the wrong way coming out of Enniskillen, and they found themselves in the wrong county altogether.
The final, the delay coming in, what was that? What was the bus delay about?
We drove to Sligo from Enniskillen. We said we'd have a look at Ben Bulbin's car to see what it's like. A few of the lads hadn't been there before,
right,
come from Louth, and then we turned right and north up towards Ballybuffet, and thanks to Garda Síochána, they sent 4 bikes down to pick us up and to get us here on time. So we have an error in terms of navigation.
That in turn led to a request to have throw-in delayed to be turned down. The trip in the wrong direction initially seemed not to have harmed Louth unduly, as they were within 2 points of Donegal by half-time, but they're outscored by 14 points in the second half as Jim McGuinness's men romped to victory. While happy with the win, the Donegal manager wasn't so pleased with the prospect of a third game in as many weeks.
It's a grueling schedule, like, you know, They're amateur players and they've been asked to do a hell of a lot, and then the rules means they're doing even more than they would have been doing up to this point. And 8 games, you know, is a lot in 12 weeks. But at the same time, we set ourselves the goal that we wanted to be in the quarter final, and when we lost the game here to Tyrone, we knew that we were going to have to probably play 3 games in a row if we wanted to be in the Croke Park on quarter final day. And so we have 2 of those games navigated now, and we're looking forward to the quarter final rather than apprehension. You know, it's a good complaint to have.
Galway continued to be the prolific thriller writers of the summer. Their 3 group stage fixtures had a points difference of 0, with 2 of them settled by just a single score, and that followed a 2-point victory in the Connacht final. But things ought to have been more comfortable this time in Newry, where they held a 10-point buffer over Down. Quickfire 2-pointers after the break from Daniel McGuinness and Micheál Rooney brought Down back into it, but from there on, momentum would swing back and forth between the sides. An Oran Murdoch goal for the hosts added to the tension, but Tom O'Callaghan found the net for Galway 2 minutes from the end, with Kane Darcy making the game safe. The day before wasn't without its drama either, with Conor O'Callaghan forced to miss Dublin's tie with Cork, but Desi Farrell's side finished the stronger of the two, eventually having 3 points to spare against the Rebels. And the well of superlatives was beginning to run dry as regards David Clifford. The Fossa giant racked up 3-7 for Kerry as they breezed past Cavan at Fitzgerald Stadium. On that week's Football Pod, Paddy Andrews believed Clifford was breathing in rarefied air.
David Clifford, lads. Yeah, he had to go 3-7. He genuinely could have scored 6 goals. Like, it just looks. He's just cruising. Did you see his interview after the match?
No.
So the interview after the game with us, and it was very, very good. He's such a, basically, you could see he's taking this on himself. He's like, Kerry probably not going as well as they'd like to be, injuries and all that stuff. But he was like, we need the Kerry supporters there next weekend. We're not playing our best stuff, but we need everyone just to row in behind us. And it was a real, like, I don't know, mature, just proper leadership. No fancy stuff, right? It was just like, I'm going up there, this team is going up there, and don't care if anyone writes us off, we're going to give this a rattle. And you know what, with Kerry, yeah, it's our favourites. I think overall they've a better balance in their team, but we've always said with Clifford, he could go bananas. I honestly have never seen anyone like him. But goals he scored the other day, it's like, honestly, doing it with Mark O'Shea, it was like, he's playing fucking couple of months ago. Like, this is senior championship. And he's like just running over fellas and then just side footing it. He is phenomenal.
Donegal would have just a 6-day turnaround from that Louth demolition job as they were drawn to face Monaghan in the quarterfinals. That was part of a double header with Dublin's clash with old foes Tyrone. Galway's roller coaster would see them take on the underdogs Meath, and without doubt, the quarterfinal summer blockbuster would see Armagh stand between an imperious Kerry and the All Ireland semi finals. But first, a statement from Donegal. No other county has played as many matches as Donegal in this year's championship, the statement read. To compound the physical and mental demands, those eight games have been played within an 11-week window. Match number nine comes this Saturday, less than 12 weeks after playing Derry in the Ulster Championship preliminary round on April the 6th. On that basis, we thought it wholly unreasonable and fully justified to seek an extra day recovery time for our players this weekend. Cuisinachta Dúnadal concludes that this is most regrettable and very disappointing that our request has been turned down. We feel the welfare of our players was not adequately considered in the decision-making process. Donegal certainly seemed to be feeling the grind as they faced Monaghan in their quarter-final at HQ, with the Farnley men putting huge pressure on the Donegal kickouts to take a 7-point lead into their half-time orange juice. But they were a side reborn after the break, with Michael Langan kicking 1-3 during a period of dominance for the Ulster champions that saw them turn the game in their favour, coming home with 6 points to spare. And as for the statement, well, don't blame me, said Jim McGuinness.
I want to say one thing. There was a statement put out during the week. We, the management or the players, had nothing to do with the statement. We didn't know the statement was going to be put out. So there was an awful lot of noise and an awful lot of articles and an awful lot of stories about that statement, and that we weren't happy and that we were, you know, disappointed and annoyed. The management and the players knew once we got beat against Tyrone that we were going to be facing into three games in 3 weeks, and that was the way it is. The statement was released by the county board, and I think on the back of people in Donegal and clubs in Donegal not being happy, but as a management team, we were okay with the game, because from my own point of view and a personal point of view, you should never ever make an excuse for a game before the game is played. And I have never done that in my life, and so I want to make sure that distance is there, because it's disrespectful to Monaghan. If we got beat today, and that if the first half followed through into the second half, and we got beat, people would be saying, "Well, sure, he was saying that during the week." We had nothing to do with it, nor did we know that it was going to be put out into the ether until I read it myself on the phone. So that's very important from a management point of view and from the players' point of view. We were happy to be here today because we got beat against Tyrone, and it was always going to be that way. It was always going to be three games and three weekends, and suck it up and let's get on with it. And now we'll look forward to a quarter final.
Earlier in the day, Con O'Callaghan was again restricted to a watching brief, at least until a heavily strapped last 20 minutes, as the final act of Desi Farrell's Dublin management was played out at Croke Park. Niall Morgan denied the dubs on a number of occasions, but the 2-point accuracy from Peter Hart in particular helped win the day for the Red Hand County. And after 7 years in charge, in which he twice won the Sam Maguire, Farrell immediately stepped down as Dublin manager.
I would have informed the county board at the start of the season that this would, regardless of what happened, this would be the last hurrah, and I've informed the players in the dressing room there as well that I'd be stepping away. And I've had a great innings. I think between being a player for Dublin underage and senior player, and then as an underage coach and senior coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, I've the guts of 40 years, you know, so it's a long time, and it's been a privilege every year, every step of the journey. I've met some great people. I've had a ringside seat for some of the best players that ever performed in the arena out there. Some of the new lads we brought in this year, still getting to know them, if you like, but great crop of fellas as well, and it augurs very well for Dublin football. And then there's an older gang that I would have taken from under 13 development squad, and seeing them grow from young boys to young men and to older men, if you like, and that's a privilege not many get to do, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for the dedication and commitment of all the players and all the coaches and all the backroom teams that I worked with along the way. It's a special sort of involvement, being involved with Dublin football, and we all know how dear and special the GAA is to all of us, and I'm just so grateful that I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to do what I do. And but now is the time to move away.
And so six teams remained as the final Sunday of June dawned on Croke Park, where there was one more major shock in store for this summer's football championship.
Ball it behind for Conor Gray. He's coming in from the left-hand side again. He almost slipped. He's shaken off a couple of players. He's inside the penalty area, Conor Gray. Can he get the goal? Yes! It's gone! Yes, it's in! It's a goal for Meath! Galway have been stripped of possession, and they made them an opportunity. It's a 3-on-1. It's Costello with a goal chance. Back to Mars! It's a goal! It's a goal for Meath! Unbelievable! Galway giving possession away inside their own. 40 metre round. Costello was the one through. And Morris palms into the net. The hooter's going to go in a second. And there it is. But it's all over. It's all over. It's all over. It is.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Meath have won it.
I thought for a moment, man, he was never kicking
it
away.
It is fun.
Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely. Stuck for me.
That Jordan Morris goal, as described by LMFM, saw Meath nudge their noses in front for the first time against Galway in yet another thriller involving the tribesmen. Yet again, a Galway game will be decided by a solitary point, but this time, Pádraig Joyce's side weren't the beneficiaries. Morris ended the game with 1-6 from play, with Meath finding a further 4 points from the returning Matty Costello to produce scenes of jubilation from those in green and gold in for the early throw-in at Croke Park. So a first All-Ireland semi-final in 16 years for the Royals, and according to Costello, possibly more.
We're a young group. You know, we've matured a bit this year. Like, no doubt we've got a bit more experience back into the dressing room. Like, we've worked so hard, you know, for the last couple of months for days like this, and you know it all pays off when you get a win like that, you know. But we're not finished. We feel like we've got another few performances in us, and we hope that we're in a position to give our best now in the semi-final.
Unlike Dublin counterpart Desi Farrell, Galway manager Joyce wasn't giving any hints about his immediate future after the final whistle.
We've just got knocked out of the championship, so like, we're not going to make any rash decisions. We'll sit and chat. There's a lot of lads in there have decisions to make about next year as well, and as we have as a management as well. So look, we'll do that in due course. County board have always been very supportive of me, the players. So look, we'll sit down and chat to them, and we'll get things properly organised. So whatever will be. So there won't be no statements or no rushes coming out the next day or two.
Kerry's progress to their quarter final with the reigning champions Armagh had been pockmarked by pessimism from within the kingdom. Writing in his Irish Times column ahead of the Cavan win, Dara O'Shea had claimed that there was an air of inevitability about a Kerry quarterfinal exit, and that Jack O'Connor had failed to future-proof the Kerry squad. Those words seemed to be grist to the Kerry mill as they released Armagh's grip on the Sam Maguire. 14 unanswered second-half Kerry points meant the game was all but done and dusted with quarter of an hour to go. Shawnee O'Shea ended the day with 3 two-pointers to his name in a stunning personal display, while afterwards his manager aimed fire at their in-county detractors.
I mean, what's to be gained by slating people? You know, it's the easiest thing in the world. I'm in the business of building people up. You know, I'm not in the business of knocking people. I spent all my life coaching underage, school kids, minors, under 21, seniors, at every level. I'm in the business of building people, not knocking people. And I'd ask people that are knocking that group and knocking people involved with the group, look in the mirror and say, what have you contributed? What have you contributed to Kerry football off the field? You know what I mean? It's very easy to knock people. Go away and coach a team. Go away and coach a development squad. Go away and coach a minor team. That's how you help Kerry football, not knocking people.
Standing between Kerry and a third final in 4 years would be Tyrone. While Meath's reward for toppling Galway would be a daunting test against the Road Warriors of Donegal, ahead of their first semi-final since 2009, Robbie Brennan was confident that this year's achievement could be matched going forward.
I think the ceiling for this group is huge. Because the age profile, and like, we're really only that's the reality. Yeah, wherever this leads us or doesn't lead us, the case may be for the rest of the season. I think it's exciting times for that group particular, and there's others, you know, hopefully back from the travels that might get involved next year with us. So I think it's I think the ceiling is big for them, and got to back that up and keep it going. But I don't see a situation where we should start coming back down the hill yet.
Indeed, on Off the Ball Breakfast, me, the legend Trevor Giles, had a unique insight into the county's ambitions.
And I was chatting to Owen Frayne a few days after that Leinster final. I'm involved with the Meath under-16s, and I was looking to see would he come in and do a little bit of work with our free takers. But just one thing he kind of said is, okay, we've set our goals now, we're going to try and win Sam Maguire.
Wow.
And at the time, I was kind of surprised at that statement. You know, it seemed a long way off after losing the Leinster final. But to be fair to them, they've been as good as their word, and they've been excellent since. Owen's a great fella. As I said, I was involved last year, and Owen was probably 20 last year. Anytime we'd be doing any video analysis or getting the lads to talk, he'd always hold his hand up and say, "That goal Armagh got, I should have done this better." Really mature fella, just a rock of sense, you know, and kind of remember listening to him saying, "This guy is definitely going to captain Meath in the future."
Unfortunately for Meath, that optimism would be left at the front door. 5 points was the gap between the Royals and Donegal at the midway point of their semi-final, but the Ulster champions put their foot on Meath throats following the restart. Goals Mushin Gallen, Kieran Moore and Conor O'Donnell peppered a relentless display as Donegal coasted to a 3-26 to 15-point win. And given their progress to the All-Ireland final, Jim McGuinness was unapologetic about Donegal's style of play.
Oh, listen, it's great. It's great. You know, there's obviously a good bit of commentary, I suppose, about how we play sometimes. And maybe it is a wee bit different than other teams. But, you know, without covering the same ground all the time, you know, that's who we are. Like at this stage of the game, you know, we know what we want to do. And it's been in our blood for a long, long time. And we just try to tap into that. And I think it was Finbar that turned that one over. A brilliant turnover, and we got all the way up the pitch and made it count, you know, which is great. It's encouraging, you know. We're creating, even the first half we created some goal scoring opportunities, and we kind of felt that if we could keep at it and keep tussling ourselves, we could get into more goal scoring opportunity moments, and that's the way it panned out. So yeah, that's positive. Obviously, you know, trying to keep that going is the big one.
Can't really be choosing who you play, because you know every team left in it as a stage is a good team. So look, sure, obviously there'll be a big deal made out of the history between ourselves and Tyrone, going back to the noughties, and the fact that Tyrone had the upper hand and that, but we're treating this as a one-off game, you know. We feel Tyrone are going to be really, really good. I was just saying inside there that very few teams go to Ballybofey and beat Donegal, and not too many teams go to Croke Park and beat Dublin, like over the last few years. So they have two big scouts under their belt, and they'll be trying to make it a third one next Saturday. So we're fully aware of the massive task ahead.
Jack O'Connor there, whose homework had been done to ensure there'd be no shock at the hands of Tyrone in their semi-final. A 22-minute spell in which they kept their opponents scoreless and added 9 points of their own proved to be the difference for the Kingdom. The ubiquitous David Clifford ended the afternoon with 1-9, a sixth All-Star assured, Kerry banishing the ghosts of 2024, where they fell to the eventual All-Ireland champions Armagh in the All-Ireland semis. And after claims that he hasn't future-proofed his side, Jack O'Connor was keen to point out it was Kerry's maturity that landed them back in football's showpiece.
Yeah, look, this is a mature team. Most of the boys now are a good age. They're in their, you know, mid to late 20s, 27, 28. That's a good age group, you know, mature lads. And I think that was a mature performance. We slowed it down when we had to, and we sped it up when we had to. But I thought we kicked the ball through the lines well today. Found David, you know, with a good share of one-on-one situations, and that's always good for us.
So for just the second time in history, the All-Ireland Senior Football Final will pit Donegal against Kerry. The last time that happened was 11 years ago, when Kieran Donaghy and Paul Gainey each scored 1-2 as Kerry brought an end to Jim McGuinness's first spell in charge. Having been outwitted by Eamon Fitzmaurice that afternoon, McGuinness will come up against Jack O'Connor this time around. How this one will pan out, though, is anyone's guess. One thing is for certain, off the ball will be there. And who's to rule out a replay?
It's where you want to be as a player, is getting ready for Ireland final days. As I said, I've been thankful enough to be, or fortunate enough, I should say, to be in one before in 2014, but it's where you want to be as a player, and thankfully we've another opportunity to do that.
As a Kerry footballer, going to Croke Park, like, Croke Park is your friend. We've had a lot of good times. It's a pitch built for Kerry footballers. You just have to go and perform there, especially on the big days.
I suppose it's that collective thing that's really catching again, so it is, you know, that everyone in 1 to 15 and subs are all playing their part. There's not two or three people that's standing up every day and winning games.
When everybody down, even in our own county, was throwing in the towel with us, I said in the dressing room after the cabinet, I said, "I've been here before, where we've been written off, the fuck, completely written off. Kerry team written off in Croke Park are dangerous.